This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org. This is Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective, Psychic Spiritual Insights for Your Life. This is a live phone in and chat, so feel free to sign on to Blog Talk Radio and get involved in the chat. And give us a call. Give us some questions. That's what I'm here for. So it's your show. I'm just going to facilitate answering questions, but I will have a topic of the day. But I'm free to move over and answer whatever it is that you're interested in. Perhaps there's a psychic experience you've had that you're not knowing what it is. Perhaps you need a little guidance of something in your life. Something that in a relationship perhaps, or something that you're stumbling over in your life and perhaps want to have some insight about that. My philosophy is that no matter what we study or learn, it must make sense to improving everyday life. Extrasensory perceptions and intuitions are a natural guide. We all have it. Some of us just a little bit more. Now, I understand that some people are skeptical of psychic phenomenon, or the paranormal, for that matter. Some are just curious. But more often than not, I believe people are sincere. They're sincere to genuinely want some insight. I like it that we open dialogue. I like it that we think about life in a new way. So one of the things that I had planned to talk about today is realities and how each of us has a different reality. There's an interesting thing about perspectives that we all have. I have my perspective that happens to be from a different viewpoint. Some people think that's abnormal. But from my viewpoint, when people don't have a feeling of a spirituality or another world, that's abnormal. But I don't really think it's abnormal. I think it's just a perspective. One of the harshest moments for me to realize different perspectives was when my children were very young. My oldest was about 12, I suppose, and we had run out of pancake syrup from the fridge, so I decided, you know, Grandma used to teach me how to make pancake syrup, my mother. So I whipped up some homemade pancake syrup. Well, they loved it. And my daughter says, wow, Mom, this is really good. Did you get the recipe from the bottle? Well, it really was a harsh moment to see life through their eyes. What is life through their eyes? So I had to sit with that for a minute and say, they don't know where things come from. It's their reality is in a bottle. That's what they had been accustomed to. That's what they had taught. And I didn't realize to what degree their reality was being tampered with that was, in my view, unnatural. Now, recently, Dr. Gatter was on and he was talking about nature school and the earth school. And it's very, very critical to understand how nature is our teacher. And it's all about what comes first. And certainly, we can use nature as a mirror to teach us. But to go back, what I did in this case, I took us into a perspective of, let's not have anything out of a box. Let's not have any packages. Let's not do that. And of course, that was quite a shock to them. They went around telling people we had no food. which was an interesting dilemma. But we moved along, and I decided at that point I was going to take us out to a farm, and I was going to move all of us, and against popular opinion, it was contrary to what most people's reality was, and again, there's a perspective, decided that I'd take us out to a farm. I had been raised on a farm. It was familiar to me. It was I knew what that experience would be like and the hard work involved, and any days that I did get a little bit tired, I just remembered my grandmother's and my grandmother's grandmother's having no running water or electricity and their reality. Well, we raised chickens, gardens, and my children's view began to change because they could understand what comes first. So in the study of the self, it's what comes first. You come first. It's not a study their self or a that self. It's studying the I self and the application of the I self. Very recently, I was watching Jamie Oliver's show, Food Revolution. He's in Los Angeles. And this was very sobering for me again because it reminded me of that experience with my children so many years ago. He did a little study holding up these boards to these high school students about what comes first, understanding about food. Now, where does butter come from? And there's a picture of a cow and corn and something else, I don't remember. And they all believed, most of them believed, that butter came from corn. Well, then there was another board. Where does honey come from? And they thought honey came from the bee, or the bear, not the bee. Then there was another board. Where does cocoa come from? And they thought it came from the cocoa lake. And, you know, he said later on camera, it's not their fault. This was a very bright school, higher than average marks, very good teachers. But there was something fundamentally missing, something Well, I'm very sorry about that, everyone. For the great wonders of the internet, we also have some little failed connections. To pick up where I had left off, I had some clients a number of years ago who were coming for a visit, and I gave them directions to the farm. And at that time, the property I was living on had a for sale sign outside. It was very easy to find. Well, several cell phone calls later and an hour late, they finally did arrive, and their response was, there's no for sale sign outside, there's just a realty sign. And again, one of those moments, those very harsh moments of realizing the view of reality. This comes, I believe, from an educational system that requires an answer to a question, and it does over time start to fail your own deductive reasoning, your own critical thinking skills. If I just have the right answer, I'll be okay. But I believe that inside each and every one of us is a spirit that's just screaming to be heard. It is. It's screaming to be heard. Can't you hear me? So there is this, you know, you can call it the conscious mind, the subconscious mind. You can call it the spirit mind, the human mind. But this is how I see it. Each of us is a spirit in a body. And those two things together create the mind. It's capable of all kinds of things. There's an imprint at birth. Now, the first 20 years of life, of course, is about learning what the world is. And again, back to the school-age children that Jamie Oliver had been interviewing, or my children who had been going to school, they were only going by the reality they were taught. So yes, there's, of course, this internal imprint, this spiritual imprint into a body, but it has to trust its human environment. It has to trust the people who give attention, who embrace that child, and say, this is the way the world is. This is the way the world works. So, of course, there's this digesting of information, assimilating, and they're going to assimilate in their own way to create their own reality. very often, again, this reality isn't necessarily natural. Where does butter come from? It comes from a cow, not corn. Where does honey come from? It comes from bees, not a bear. Where does cocoa come from? You know, where does everything come from? Where does it come from? Well, where does our intuition come from? That intuition, that sensory, that other perception. Well, there's two ways. First of all, we have it in our brains to have a sensory perception. Many cultures refer to that as the third eye. But we also have this other perception, this other, some people call it quite magical. I call it quite natural. An intuition. We're sensitive to energy around us all the time. But if we put that aside for a moment and understand how nature teaches us, how does it behave? How does nature behave? And how do we interact with that? And then what can it reflect? What does it tell us about ourselves? Well, I live on a farm. I have animals. And I have learned so much about myself through animals. Now, whether this is a dog or a cat, and they're only behaving in the ways that I teach them or how I behave, they respond to me. And instead of a demand, it's a command. But what kind of command? I became particularly aware of my body language. If I hadn't already had the training, I became even more aware of body language through round pen training a horse. And what that is you stand in the center of a circle of a round pen, about 50 or 60 feet, and you have the horse go in different directions. You direct them either way, and you start to build a relationship with that horse. Well, even the raise of one hand will cause that horse to go in a different direction. And very often the horse wouldn't do what I wanted it to do. But I wasn't conscious of what I was doing that caused that horse to respond. So I had to become more aware of what I was doing with my body and how that was causing me to further think. Instead of frustration, I had to say, what have I done? What did I do? And of course, I had to consult other people. I had to consult other horse trainers. I had to consult other people who had some experience. And they'd always say, there's nothing wrong with your horse. It's you. And they were absolutely right. It was me. So I had to learn about me, just as you learn about you. Life through your eyes, your understanding of your spirituality, your understanding of your mind, your understanding of how you behave, how you respond, the messages that you are giving to the outside world. These are all views of reality. Now, we can't leap from here to there. There's a process, and each of us has to put together sensible processes. You know, when you start out getting your learner's permit to drive a vehicle, you can't just hop into an 18-wheeler and say, let's go. There is a process. You have to understand that there's some basic things in a vehicle. There's a gas pedal and there's a brake. There's a steering wheel. And if you're like me as a mother teaching my kids, I'm going to learn about the basic oil check. Where do you put the gas in? How to change a tire? There's things that you must know. And then it's about perception, how to view, look ahead on the road, not right straight down in front of you, or you're going to end up in a ditch. So there's a process for learning that gets some experience in the car. You learn about all the road rules. And if it is that you want to drive an 18-wheeler truck, then you're going to graduate up to driving that 18-wheeler truck. To get in the truck before you understand yourself and how you learn how to drive that vehicle, there's going to be a problem. And at the very least, you're going to blow a motor. And that won't make people happy. So each of us has a reality of view. And there's a process for understanding how we interact with the world, how we can better interact with the world, how we can naturally interact with the world. So, again, realities. Everyone has their own. And what we all are required to do is self-study. Most people don't know what that is. What is self-study? Well, it's the study of my own mind, how it works. And it's how do I think, how do I process, how do I see that? Everyone is born with a very unique view. So what is their natural view? Well, my natural view to see the world is I'm experiential, to start out with. I am very sensory, and aside from the intuition, aside from any ESP I have a brain that functions in a certain way in my five primary senses, and again, the way I see things and how it goes to my brain. I am a borderline dyslexic, and what that means to say is there's a flutter in my eye that's very hard to read any great lengths of time unless it's experiential. If it's experiential and I can smell the words, taste them, hear them, then I remember them. If it's flat science, I don't get it. So basically, I know by how I process, I'm not going to make a great investigative scientist. I know that I can understand the general principles of science, but I'm not going to be a mathematician, and I'm not going to be a doctor, and yet I can study numerology, and I can understand the basic physiology to take care of the body. So it doesn't mean I'm deficient in all things. It just means that I will have an application to particular things. Each of you, everyone, has their own view. So these are the questions to sit with yourself in. How do I see things? And how can I see them different? And how can I connect the dots to see what's more natural and ask myself some very sensible questions? And always it's about where do things come from? Where do I come from? And then you can begin to walk the path. Walk step by step, one thing at a time. And very often this is about getting through the day. Now, very often in nearly all esoteric pathways or spiritual pursuances, they're saying find peace within the self. I call that pushing the pause button. Push the pause button to just stay quiet for a moment. Just in staying quiet so that you know what part of yourself is stepping up in that moment. If it's emotion, and usually this is the case now, you know, a lot of people are very frustrated in the world, and there's lots to be frustrated about. And it stirs up emotion to push the pause button and just breathe. Then you can begin to decipher, and maybe it is there's so much emotion, it's fair to say, excuse me, I need to push my pause button, and I'll be back in a minute. So that we can interact in what I call, everyone, Dr. Kelly talks about it all the time, and many other people, it's just to have a healthy interaction with yourself and the world. If your emotions are running your life, you're not going to think properly, and you have lost your natural perception. You have lost the ability to interact and see things, and particularly see things in nature. And even if you have a dog or a cat or children, a partner, things will get lost in the communication. So you have to push the pause button, breathe, just bring yourself to your center for a moment, and then begin to think. So this is primarily, in my lifetime, I like to think of things that are more natural. Something that goes back to my natural experience with myself first, and then my natural experience with the outside world and how that's happening, how I can interact better, how I can find better processes for growing and evolving. And then whatever I learn, it has to fit into my natural process. It has to make sense. It's much like a hard drive of a computer. You know, you're inputting information all the time. Well, then it has to take a moment to defragment and start to make sense. Otherwise, everything's going to slow down and everything is grinding away, trying to access information. And it can't. It should be quick and automatic. If it makes sense to you, it will just come naturally, spontaneously. It's when everything gets jumbled up and that computer hard drive is too busy accessing here and there and everywhere, that we get confused, we get frustrated, we get depressed. We don't know which way to go. Of course, everyone wants to feel there's some kind of sense of spirituality, that when all else fails, you can go back to your spirituality. But your spirituality is yourself. It is your unique view of how you experience your spirit, how you experience your body, how you experience your mind, how you walk forward in a day. Yes, there's breathing, meditations, connecting with the earth, remembering that there's a leaf on a tree, and hey, what's that leaf say? Because it's all very real. Certainly it's real in my mind. We are here on the earth. The earth is an entity. So how do I interact? But you must always go back to the beginning, the self. Years ago, I took a little survey, and because I do this from time to time, to gauge my own mind and see how people are seeing things these days. So I took about 20 people I knew, and I had my little survey, and I went to each of them, and I said, do you love your life? And they look at me funny, and it never got ever a spontaneous answer. Generally, the response to that was, well, I'd like this or I'd like that. Okay, do you love yourself? Well, I suppose, and you know, there's always a hesitation in that. And then the third question I would ask is, do you find yourself the most interesting human being you know? The responses to this astounded me, the least of which was, I suggest you haven't met very many interesting people, Vicki. But I'm interesting. I'm interesting to myself. I think, how did I see that? How did I know that? How did I get that? Because I am interesting. I am interesting to me. I'm the only one who lives in here. I imparted that basic philosophy to my children and any other young people came through my home over the years. I impart that to my clients, particularly the young clients that I have. I want to know, what do you think? I think in the last probably 20, 25 years, of all the hundreds of young people I've seen, maybe three have been able to answer that. Most people will quote a book. They will quote their teacher. They will quote what they're supposed to do, supposed to have, because their reality is outside themselves. Now, in Dr. Kelly's work, he would call that them esteem, and I have loved that that view of it, because if you need something outside of yourself to feel good and feel validated, that is them esteem. Self-esteem is how you regard yourself. So when I ask somebody, how do you see that? I really am interested to know how you see it. I am interested to know how you see the world. Now, we're not always going to agree on everything, but that's what's interesting. There is a common thread, however. We're all human beings, and we're all here to figure it out. We're all working on this together. But if we don't know where we've come from, we don't know where we're going. Because if we don't know where we are, we don't know where we're going. And if we don't know where we're going, we don't know where we are. It all works together in a here-now experience. So again, back to that perception of reality. The reality is through your eyes. Now, I'm reminded that the conscious and subconscious minds, in a conversation yesterday I had, that every second we are taking in about 2,000 units of information into the unconscious mind. You may think you're not conscious, you know, or you don't know what you're thinking, but we are taking in information exponentially every second. So it's filed somewhere. And then we go through our day. We think we're being conscious. If I ask somebody, what were you just thinking? Most people don't know. Most people can't answer that question. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, I don't know. But we do know what we were thinking. We're just not conscious of it. So our point is to become more conscious of the self, more conscious of ourselves in what we're thinking, how we're feeling, what senses we have about ourselves, and then learn from there. Everything that we learn gets siphoned into the I of my being, I am I, and I walk forward. That's evolution. That's progress. That is moving forward in your life. And you'll move forward healthfully. You'll be able to see the shadows. You'll be able to see what doesn't make sense. You'll be able to see clearly what's unhealthy. You'll be able to see what is dysfunctional in that common psychological term. You'll be able to see that because you're healthier. Whenever I sit with people and I tune into a body, I don't have to look for illness. It just isn't in my mind frame anymore. Everyone is a bright white light. If there's a shadow there, it will show itself. It will. And then I can tune in and say, oh, there's a shadow. Okay, this is something to work on. This is something that we can work with. And that's just us helping each other. And that's what we all ought to be doing for each other, is just helping out. But see it in a pure way, a good way, a sensible way, in a way that's really natural. Then we begin to see what does not make sense. So again, it doesn't make sense that butter would come from corn, unless, of course, in that reality, there's corn oil, so you think, well, that must be butter. But if you stop and ask a question, you think about, that doesn't feel right. It doesn't quite grab me in the center. Something's not right with that. It's not kind of filing into my hard drive really well. So I have to stop, push the pause button, and begin again. Where does butter come from? So then I can begin to process. And again, it'll be my way. Now, the cooperative way in how we each get along is we can all then agree to know that butter comes from cows. One of my very first lessons about perceptions of realities was back in the 70s, my wonderful mentor, Frank, would hold a mug up, a coffee mug, and he'd say, this is a coffee mug, but you see the handle on the right, I see the handle on the left. But if we turn it around, you'll see the handle on the left, I see the handle on the right, and so on. But he'd turn it around. Now, if you don't see a handle, you don't know it's a coffee cup. But we all agree that it is a vessel of some kind that can hold fluid, you know, some kind of liquid or some, well, it can hold anything for that matter. Put oatmeal in it. It's a vessel. Could be a measuring cup. But somewhere in our society, we've all agreed in our reality that that's going to be a coffee mug. Coffee mugs can take different shapes, they can take different forms, be different colors, but we're still all going to agree that that's a coffee cup. And in the reality, in the conscious reality, we have agreed on being in this particular frequency, if you will, this frequency of reality, where I'm sitting in a chair and you sit in your chair. I don't know what your chair looks like except how I relate to me sitting in my chair, but we know it's a chair nonetheless. So we agree. So building up from that where we agree from, if we come from a place of fear, and if we come from a place of power or wanting power, then that's the agreed upon reality. And that's not going to work so good if we're each fighting each other. We want to come from a place of cooperation, of respect, and the respect for free will. I would share with you my reality if you would share with yourself your reality. And then we can find the common reality that we can learn to get along. We have to get along.